All right, so let's go ahead and jump into our series again. We're in the vine and the fruit series. We've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit, but with the caveat and the understanding that first and foremost, the vine has to come first. To produce this fruit in our lives, it is really a requirement that we stay grafted in or abiding in the vine, and that is obviously a very important part of this. So as we go back to Galatians 5, we have been looking at the fruit of the Spirit. Let's look at that together before we jump into the fruit of the week. But here's what it says, Galatians 5, starting with verse number 22 through 23, the first part of that. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And of course, here we go. The fruit of the week, this week, the one we've all been waiting for, I'm sure, patience. Let's pray. Father, we do love you. We thank you so much for this day. We thank you for this time and this opportunity to be in your presence together. And Father, as we look at these fruits, as we look at these things, it can be so easy and so tempting to kind of think that, oh, if I'm going to make these things happen in my life, I'm going to almost will myself into doing these things. But Father, remind us once again that God, you produce this fruit. The Holy Spirit produces this fruit as we remain in the vine, as we stay close to you, Jesus. You will, through your Holy Spirit, produce these fruits in our lives, and you'll produce them in great quantities, which is definitely what we desire and what we want. So, Father, as we look at this one, God, I pray that you would help us. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here we go. You know, I mean, it was like I was looking at the schedule and I was like, okay, how can I be gone on the week of patience? But here we are, you know. And here's the thing, like patience is a tough one. It's one of those things that if you come up to people and you talk to them and you go like, hey, would you like to have more patience in your life? They're like, yes, absolutely. I wish I had more patience in my life. But at the same time, then we say, okay, here's how you're going to get more patience. You know, here's God bringing forth opportunity for you to develop more patience. That's something that we don't necessarily like. That's something that's somewhat more difficult for us to experience. It's like we want the patience, we just don't want the opportunity to develop it, you know? We want more and more of it, but it's like somehow we wish that somehow God would just kind of hit us over the head with a lightning bolt, and all of a sudden our patience has grown, you know, from a 5 to a 20. But at the same time, it is something that God wants to develop in us. It's something that God wants to produce in us as we remain in the vine. So here's the deal. As I was looking at this message and trying to figure out how to really bring this together and look at it, what I really wanted to do to first kind of start us out is really give you a biblical definition of patience. Okay? So because I won't do this, so don't worry. But if I started pulling one or two of you up here on stage with me and I asked you, define patience, you would probably have a fairly decent definition of patience. You would probably be able to say, well, this is kind of what it means. This is kind of what it means to me. And basically, a lot of that usually comes from your own personal experience, through the lenses that you're looking through based on things that you have happened in your life and so on and so forth. But to really understand what the fruit of the Spirit is in regards to patience, we have to go back to Scripture and really see kind of exactly what God is meaning so that in our lives we can allow that part of patience to come forth. Because here's the deal. Patience sometimes can be a lot like the other fruit of the Spirit. They kind of are these things that we hear. We know that we're supposed to allow them to grow and be produced in our lives as we remain in the vine. But sometimes it's not always easy to know kind of where the rubber meets the road, kind of really what that looks like. Typically, when you think about patience, it's basically the thought of maybe a parent being patient with a child or something of that nature. But the idea of patience biblically is a little bit greater than probably you understand, and definitely that I understood until I really began to dig a little bit deeper into what patience really is. So let's kind of start there. Let's look at kind of an idea or definition of that. The word patience in the Greek is the word basically macrothrumenia. Okay? That word is defined as these things. And here's the deal. You're going to see as we go through this morning, these things come up again and again and again as we kind of unpack this together. It's defined as this: enduring suffering, forgiving others, and being slow to anger. Okay? These three parts really encapsulate the idea of biblical patience that you and I need to have. Like, typically, when you think about what patience is, if you kind of narrowed it down, most of us, and we'll kind of see this in a minute, usually has a little bit more to do with being slow to anger than more than that. It's kind of this idea that I'm not going to get upset. I'm going to not get frustrated, or I'm not going to get impatient. And those are true feelings when it comes to patience, but the biblical understanding of it is a little bit greater. And here's what I found. If we want to have the fruit of the Spirit as far as patience in our lives, every three parts of this idea and definition of patience that we see in Scripture is really what we need to have in our lives. Because if we're missing one of these, we're going to find that our growth in patience isn't as much as what God wants it to be. So in that concept, in that idea, I've kind of just broken it down. It's in your notes. If you're going to kind of take something away this morning as far as patience goes, and we're going to get into more application in a minute, but this is it. Like I said, it's in your notes, so let's look at it together. If we have the fruit of patience in our lives, it means this: we endure all situations with a posture of forgiveness and grace towards others, being slow to anger towards others. So what does patience really look like? What does patience really look like in this? It's this idea that we will endure not some situations, but all situations, and that we'll do that with a posture of forgiveness and grace to others, with an idea as well as not getting upset, frustrated, or angry with them as we're going through those situations. Because here's the thing. Most of the time when we're dealing with patience, we're dealing with patience extended towards someone else. Now, sometimes, I don't know about you, I can be impatient with myself as well. And so even truth about that, even with ourselves, we need to remember to do this. Because here's the thing. Sometimes the person I'm the most impatient with is me. And sometimes I will allow myself, listen, to have this idea that I look at myself and I'm like, I'm not willing to endure this time. I'm not willing to forgive myself for the things maybe I have done or things that I've experienced that then have brought forth, you know, other things into my life and then I get angry with myself. And so here's the thing, like, if you want to extend patience to others, which is truly a great thing, you first have to remember to extend patience towards yourself. Because I found it over and over and over again where people will come and talk to me, oh, I'm just so impatient with this, or I'm so impatient with that, or I'm so impatient with God. And basically, as we kind of pull away the layers of the onion, we begin to understand that one of the major issues that they're dealing with is they really haven't been patient with themselves. They expect so much of themselves that they can have a hard time extending patience to others. And what I mean by that is this: we have to have this understanding that we need Jesus, that we are not capable of living a sinless life. We are going to mess up. We're going to mess up a lot. And sometimes when we have that attitude where we're looking at ourselves with this through the lens of perfection, we can miss the fact that God wants to extend grace, love, mercy, and guess what? Patience to us. But we can't get there because we can't get past our own impatience and our own upset or anger with our own hearts and our own lives and our own things that we're experiencing. So all of this needs to kind of come together. All of this that God, as he wants us to understand this, he wants us to understand a more holistic idea of patience. Because again, what's patience? Usually patience is, I got into a line, and I got into the wrong one. I don't know if you're like me, but I am horrible at line picking. Okay? Like if you want to figure out the right line to get in, to get through Walmart or wherever you're at the quickest, ask me, and then go to the other line. Because I do. I get up there and I'm looking at carts. I'm looking at how fast the checkers are. I'm looking at, you know, do they have the section open where you can check out yourself? How many of those things? And I'm kind of doing, you know, this is an old movie. Maybe you remember it, maybe you don't. But you remember the Beautiful Mind movie? And the guy's thinking and all the numbers are... That's happening to me as I'm trying to pick out the line. Why? Simple. Because I'm not always patient. And I want to figure out the line to get in. And I want to experience that. And I always pick the wrong one. And then I'm sitting there going, why did I pick this one? Why is this taking so long? Why did I actually get in front of the person who seemed to only have four items, but every single item needs a price check? And I get impatient. And I get frustrated. And I don't want to endure it anymore. And I get angry with myself. Because how could I pick such a horrible line? What is wrong with me? I did the math. I tried to figure it out, but I still didn't get it right. See how patience can so much affect our lives? And then guess what I do? Usually I'm there, you know, with Emily or Easton, and now I'm frustrated. I'm mad at myself. Oh, I picked the dumb line. Probably Emily thinks I'm an idiot. She probably is wondering, why in the world did I marry this guy? He can't even pick a right line. He can't figure these things out. And now I'm upset. Now I'm frustrated. Maybe she says something and I snap at her. Or now I'm impatient with Easton because he's not doing... This can affect so much of our lives. And usually it can start sometimes with silly things. So to understand what this fruit is, to understand how God wants us to understand it, is very, very vital in our growth and our experience with Him. So let's break these things down. Let's look a little bit deeper at this idea of patience. Let's kind of get it off of our bumper stickers and kind of really learn about what it looks like and how we can apply it in our lives. The first thing that we really need to understand about patience is this. God is this kind of patient. He's this kind of patient. And I want to explain that in just a minute. But in this concept of all this that we need to understand, I know we've talked about it before, but when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, what we're looking at in a lot of ways is the character of God. The things that God is. God is love. He is patient. He is kind. He is good. He's all these things. So if we want to really understand what patience is scripturally and what it is for our lives, we got to look at Him first. And so here's the deal. All the way back in the Old Testament, all the way back in Exodus, Moses and God are having this really important talk. It basically, I made that, you know, as simple as I can make it. And God is wanting to express to Moses and in turn us about who He is. It's a very popular portion of Scripture. But listen to what God says about Himself that we need to understand. Exodus 34, we're going to look at the verse 6 and the first part of verse 7. It says, as He passed in front of Moses, He being God, He proclaimed this, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God. Listen to what it says, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Now listen, if this is not your view of God, we need to do some rearranging, okay? Because this isn't Aaron saying this is God. This isn't Moses saying this is God. This is God speaking about who He is. He's expressing this to us. He's like, I want you to know who I am. And He says these things. Slow to anger. Slow to anger. He's not quick to anger. He doesn't quickly do the things that sometimes we do. This is the type of God that we serve. This is the fruit that God desires for you and to me to produce in our lives as the Holy Spirit produces it in us and we remain in the vine. This is the type of patient God is. Slow to anger, compassionate, gracious, abounding in love, faithfulness. Forgiveness. All of these things, God says, this is it. This is what I want from you as well with my help. And so not only is God this, not only is God this kind of patient, but then we need to understand a little bit deeper that this idea of patience, this idea of how he is how he interacts with us. It's one thing to say I'm patient. It's another thing to actually allow the patience that I have to be interactive and extended to people that actually need patience. You could say, I love people, or I'm very joyful. But if those things never exit your being, if they never come out, if they're never interactive, then what have you really gained? And more importantly, what have people gained as well? We're going to look at a scripture in Nehemiah. And I need to give you a little background about Nehemiah real quick. Basically, Nehemiah comes, and the book of Nehemiah is about basically this idea of as Israel has been taken into captivity. They've been there for quite a while in Babylon, and now they're coming back home. They're coming back to the land, and they're starting to kind of rebuild and so on and so forth. Well, that's kind of the whole idea, real quick, not even cliff notes, but even cliff notes of the book of Nehemiah. In Nehemiah 9, we kind of get a history. We kind of begin to hear about these things. And so basically we're getting reminded, or the people of Israel are being reminded about their past and all that God has done. And he brings up the idea of slavery and God coming and basically bringing them out of Egypt. He brings up the covenants and he brings up all these things. He brings up their failures. And basically, if this makes sense, he brings up the cycle that we constantly see in Scripture. This idea that Israel starts really good and they're God does an amazing thing, and they're worshiping him and following him, and then they begin to rebel. They begin to forget God. God sends prophets and people to basically say, hey, turn back, repent, come back to me. They don't do that, and so God brings judgment. They go into captivity or some type of judgment situation. Once again, they realize and they call out to God. God answers their prayer. God does a great thing and brings them out of slavery or brings them out of issues or problems or situations, but then things go well for a while, and then the cycle starts all over again. It starts all over again. Nehemiah is telling that story once again to these people. And he does it several times. We're just going to look at one time in Nehemiah. But look at with me in Nehemiah 9, chapter 17, or verse 17. This is what he says. He's kind of in the middle of these stories in this cycle. He says, they refused to obey and did not remember the miracles you had done for them. Instead, they became stubborn and appointed a leader to take them back to their slavery in Egypt, okay? So in this, I kind of picked this one out. Basically, as Nehemiah is telling the story, he's like, yeah, your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents, basically, God brought them out of slavery, God's doing awesome things, and they forgot him, basically. They say, we're going to go back to Egypt. But look what it says. But you are a God of forgiveness, gracious and merciful, slow to become angry, and rich in unfailing love. You did not abandon them. Now listen, if you want a case study of the patience of God, the Old Testament is a great place for this. Because you see this kind of go on and on and on. And yet God says, you know what? I will keep my promise. You know what? I will be slow to anger. Here's the thing that sometimes we forget. We look at the Bible, and the Bible sometimes gives us a better idea of this than other times. But sometimes we forget the time of the time that basically goes from one thing to another. The Bible doesn't always say, and then 300 years later, this happened. But it happens a lot. God is so slow to anger that some of these judgments that eventually come, and here's the deal, not just to Israel, but to other peoples and other nations, it's hundreds sometimes of years. Like we look at it and we read it and we sometimes go from one chapter to another and they're rebelling and they're doing all these horrible things and then God brings judgment. Sometimes we forget the amount of time that takes place between them. This is how God responds to you and me. Because here's the thing. Like, it's real easy to reach down, pick up a nice big old rock, and go, man, those Israelites were dumb. How dumb. Seriously, last night, it happened just last night, Easter and I are reading the Bible. like we do pretty much every night. And we had just finished, we're in Exodus, okay? So we're in Exodus, and we just finished reading the Red Sea crossing, man. Love that story. Dry land, they experience all this. Man, you get a chapter of them just worshiping God, singing songs, celebrating. And then you go to the next chapter, and you know what it says? 3 days later. Now listen, I would love to believe this about me. I would love to believe this about you. Maybe I shouldn't say you, maybe I should just say me. I would love to think that if somehow, some way, I was back in Kansas City where I grew up, and basically, if you don't know about Kansas City, the Missouri River flows through it, and it's a big old river. It's a big old muddy river. It's a big old thing. And I walked up to the river, and I said, God, I'm trapped. I need to get across the river. And God said, Aaron, raise your hand. And I went, because you got to be dramatic, you know, and I don't have a staff, you know, so I raise, and the... And I walked on dry land. I would pray and hope that it would at least take me a week to grumble about God. 3 days. Now listen. I don't know how God handled that without basically going, slow to anger. 3 days. This is how God reacts to you and me. And so, like I said, it's real easy for us to grab that rock and go, how dumb were they? How couldn't they figure it out? But sometimes in our own lives, God does great, mighty things, and we forget. But yet God's still loving. He's still patient with us. This is how God reacts to us, and that, of course, leads into the last one that we're going to talk about in this section, and it's simply this. Jesus is the ultimate example for us of this. He's the ultimate example. Look with me in 1 Peter 2. This is important. 1 Peter 2, we're going to look at verses 19 through 25. It says this, for God is pleased when conscious of his will, you patiently endure unjust treatment. Of course you get no credit for being patient if you're beaten for doing wrong. But if you suffer for doing good and endure it patiently, God is pleased with you. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow his steps. Verse 22. He never sinned. Check this out. He never deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we could be dead to sin and live for what is right. And finishing up with verse number 25. By his wounds you are healed. Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls. Man, what a powerful portion of scripture. Where Peter, as he's writing to his hearers and obviously writing to us, he's like, listen, the example of this patience is Jesus. The example that it is so great for us to see is how he suffered and endured. And listen, when we suffer and we endure, let's be honest, a lot of times it's because of the choices that we have made. Now, not every time, but sometimes we see that. And Jesus doesn't do these things. Jesus is not having these issues, but yet he suffers and endures it, and he does it for you and for me. And it ultimately takes him to the cross. It ultimately, he says, you know what? I love you enough. I will endure it enough. I will forgive you enough. I will be slow to anger enough that I will make a way for you to come back to me. You see, here's the deal. Like, we can be patient with each other, and that's good. And we can do it somehow, maybe from a distance or whatever. Jesus, as our example, says basically, listen, Patience is an action. It's something that we're willing to do. And it was willing for Jesus. He loved us enough. He was patient with us enough to not just say, I'm going to be patient with you, but he, through the cross, makes a way for us to get back to the Father in his love and his patience. Here's the deal. Ultimately, when God is patient towards us, and this is important that we get this, you'll see in a little bit why, is God is patient towards us and forgives us, he is choosing to carry the weight and to bury the and to bear the cost of our sin. This is big. This is amazing. It is ultimately expressed through what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Because you think about it. You think about, just think about yourself. Right? It's easy sometimes to think about other people, but just think about yourself. And think about how patient God has been with you. Think about how patient he was with you yesterday. And God says, you know what? I'm not only going to be patient with you. I'm going to allow the patience I have to be an enduring one. An enduring one that I'm going to bring forth forgiveness into your life. And because I'm slow to anger, I'm going to actually allow there to be time for you to respond to the endurance and the forgiveness that I have to you or for you. That's incredible, folks. That God would love us that much. So with that in mind, with laying that groundwork, and we're gonna circle back to that later at the end, but just with that groundwork, with that definition, with understanding what God has done for you and for me, what does the fruit of patience actually look like in our lives? Like how can we kind of look at our hearts, look at our lives and go, okay, is this fruit being produced for you and for me? And guess what? We're going to kind of go back to the three concepts and the three ideas that we found in the definition. So the first one that we need to look at is this. It means that we don't quit. Okay? It means that we don't quit, meaning there's actually some endurance in our lives. Okay? Now, endurance is an interesting thing because endurance, if you think about like physical endurance, endurance is not something necessarily that just magically happens in your life. Endurance is something that builds in your life. Like if I came to you and said, listen, I'm going to give you $1 million. I don't have $1 million. But I thought we'd make it big. You know, if we're going to make something crazy, let's make it crazy. And I said, I'm going to give you $1 million. If you can run a marathon and do it within 4 hours. Yeah. And I said, ready, set, go. You know what? And I don't have it. So just don't worry about it. I still have $1 million at the end of this day. You know why? Because it's not something you do immediately. It's something that you have to build upon. Now, here's the deal. If I told you this, I said, listen, same concept, same idea, but you don't have to do it today. You have to do it a year from today. Now, some of you would go, nope, $1 million isn't worth the pain. Some of you would go, nope, not going to do it. Some of you would go, let's get a plan. Let's get figured this out. Let's do this. Let's start building our endurance to be able to do that. Sometimes in patience, what we tend to do is we forget that at times patience is a building thing. And so what we tend to do is we get so impatient with people or situations, and then we get impatient with ourselves again. And we forget that God wants to build this up in you. He wants it to be a journey that you go on. But here's the deal. You got to start today saying, you know what? I'm going to start building towards my endurance. I'm going to start getting over these things and these excuses of why I'm not patient. And instead, start the process of being patient. It's important that we get that. Look at 1 Peter 4. We're going to look at verses 12 through 13, and then we're going to jump to verse 19. Again, Peter's writing, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials that you're going through, as if something strange were happening to you. He says, instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. Look, so if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right and trust your lives to the God who created you, for he will never fail you. Because here's the deal, going back to the concept of this idea of running a marathon, listen, there's going to be some suffering involved in that. There's going to be some pain that is involved in that. You see, all of us can endure when things are going well, but when it's hard, do you quit? When you suffer, do you quit? Or do you say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to allow these difficult moments that I'm having with situations to keep me from being patient through them. But there's another part of this that I want to talk about as well. Because it's not just quitting when things get difficult in our situations and our circumstances, but also when we're dealing with people. I don't know about you, but as honest as I can be, there are times where with people, I seem to have a line. Maybe you have the same line. Maybe it's in different places for different people. But it seems like once that line is crossed, that's it. You have hurt me too much. You have done this too much, or whatever it is. And at that point, my patience is run dry. You see, part of this understanding of patience is not just not quitting when things get difficult in our hearts and in our lives, but it also means we don't quit on people. Now, here's the deal. Listen, hear me here, okay? Hear me here, because I need to explain this. Sometimes we have to remove ourselves from situations that are detrimental and dangerous, okay? But listen, you can be distant from someone and still not give up on them. And the other side of that coin is simple as well. You can be close to someone and have given up on them. So we need the Holy Spirit. We need discernment to know when to pull back and when to come close. But you get to decide whether or not you will give up on them. You get to decide whether or not you will extend an enduring patience to them, or you'll say, you know what, you've crossed the line, I'm done. Thankfully, hear me, God in this life, while this life is going on, doesn't have a line. And some of you, hear me here, some of you have believed the lie from the pit of hell that says God has a line. If you're breathing, there's no line. Now listen, hear me here. Hear what Scripture says. When you take that last breath, that's the line has been drawn. But as you are with us, God is saying, I am still patient with you. I have not given up on you. Listen, some of you have given up on yourselves. And you in that moment, hear me, hear, you need to hear this. Listen, in that moment, you are in conflict with God. And you're going to have to make a decision. Do you believe God's word that he has not given up on you? Or do you believe your own feelings and emotions and other things that say he has? I'm here to tell you that this scripture that we are, our authority is here, says, you know what? There is still time. I have not given up on you. I still have a plan. I still have a purpose. I still have salvation ready for you. So don't quit. Don't quit when things get hard. Don't quit when things get frustrating. Don't quit on people that God has placed in your life. And don't quit on yourself. That's the first thing. Number two, after we do that endurance, the second thing is it means that we're willing to put up with others. It means that we're willing to put up with others. Look at Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verses 12 through 13 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you have a grievance against someone else. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Bear one another. Put up with one another. Listen, I am so thankful that you all bear with me and put up with me. Because you know what? I mess up a lot. There's things I don't do right as a pastor. There's things I don't always understand. There's questions that you may have that I don't always have an answer to. I don't always handle things, everything right. Sometimes the word that comes out doesn't come out quite right. And you know what? I'm so thankful you bear with me. I'm so thankful that you look at me and go, man, I'm going to be patient with him. Because I definitely need that. And part of this idea of being patient, part of this idea of expressing these things is forgiveness for one another. It's for us to realize, you know what? We don't always have it all together. We're not always going to say or do the right thing. Sometimes people are going to hurt us, and sometimes we're going to be the ones doing the hurting. But Paul commends us in Colossians to say, listen, bear with each other. Put up with each other. Listen, some of you, and so, I know I do, man, some of the quirks we have, oh my goodness. Are you kidding? And Jesus says, no, love, forgive. And then Paul takes it one step further and he says, listen, forgive as Jesus has forgiven you. As we understand this idea of patience, what also that means is, listen, and we'll get to this in a minute, be patient to others as God has been patient to you. But look also, Ephesians 4, Paul continues this thought. He says, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Being patient in a lot of ways is making allowance for the faults of others, for being understanding that they aren't perfect, for being understanding that God is still transforming them and still doing a work in them, and that they are still being transformed from glory to glory, and to be patient. And here's the deal. Listen. It's not just about being patient with others. It's being patient again with yourself. And saying, listen, I need to be kind and humble and gentle and make allowance for my faults as well. Because I'm not always going to handle it. I don't know about you, but this is just me, okay? This is just me. I can beat myself up a lot. I'm not going to get into the details, but I just want to make this kind of hit home. Just this week, and of course, just this week, I got a phone call from somebody. And not to get into the details, but I got hung up on. Now, if I told you the details, you probably go, no, Aaron, you handled it right. You did everything you ought to do. Blah, 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 blah. And you know what? Probably, maybe I did or maybe I didn't. I don't know. But I tell you what, that phone hung up and I immediately went like this. I messed it up. I didn't say the right thing. I didn't do the right thing. Aaron, why didn't you say this? Aaron, why didn't you say that? Aaron, this person needed this or that. Why couldn't you have just, why did you respond in this way? All these things just started flooding into my life. All these things started flowing into my mind and in my heart. I wasn't patient with me. And I eventually got up, I walked into this dark auditorium, and I just started walking and praying and going, God, I'm so sorry. God, I didn't handle that right. I didn't do the right thing. I didn't, you know, and it was like God just said, Aaron, be patient with yourself sometimes. It's okay to be patient with yourself. Sometimes the hardest person for me to put up with is myself. But God is doing great things in our hearts and our lives. Even though we're not perfect, even though we still don't do it all right, sometimes it's important as we look at our lives and see the patience, to see if it's there, how are we putting up with each other? Number three, it means that we are slow. So we've talked about endurance, we've talked about really forgiveness, and now we're talking about this idea of being slow to anger. Look at James chapter 1, starting with verse number 19. In James 1, 19, it says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." Okay? Question, okay, that we have to look at. How slow to anger are you? Now, I don't know if you're like me, but there are certain areas and certain things that I'm good in it, like I'm okay. And then there's other things that I'm horrible at it. Maybe sometimes it depends on how much sleep I've gotten. Maybe it depends on the day has been, all those types of things. But there's this concept that James is wanting us to understand. And he's saying, listen, we need to be a people that is slow to anger. Now listen, he doesn't say, and Scripture doesn't say, that anger is the problem. Okay? Scripture says, in your anger, don't sin. There are times, listen, where we should get a little bit angry. But what do we do with it? How do we respond to it? Who are we really angry with? You see, because Scripture says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That's not how our problem is. But a lot of times we get angry at a lot of flesh and blood, don't we? Scripture is trying to get us to say, you know what? How do you handle that anger? But regardless, let it be slow. Let it be a situation that comes slowly into your life. Here's how we can check our hearts on this. Do you get angry and frustrated really, really quickly about stuff that just doesn't matter? Or do you get frustrated and angry about eternal things? Like, let me give you an example here, what I mean. Like, when I am dealing with people that don't know Jesus and that are missing out on what God has for their lives, and knowing that if they don't turn to Him, they're going to spend eternity separated from God, I get angry. I don't get angry at them. I get angry at the enemy of our soul. It angers me. Because I want people to experience the joy and the peace and the love that God has for them. And I get sick of an enemy that wants only to kill, steal, and destroy. And I get angry. And it's so easy to let our anger take control. It's so easy to allow that to happen in here. And listen, I'm going to just be honest, because I'm starting to see this more and more and more. And it really concerns me. Not only are we getting quick to anger, but we're also, as Christians, becoming very quick to judgment. Where we look at people's lives and think that we have the right to be judge, jury, and executioner. We need to understand that that is not our role. We are to, as Scripture says, when we judge, to judge in a way that first and foremost looks at our own life, but not, and then when we do look to help our brother with the speck in his eye, that we do not do it out of judgmental mindset, not out of the desire to have them get what they deserve, but instead understanding what God has done for us. Why? Why do we do that? Simple. Because God does. Look at me, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Here's the deal. Why hasn't Jesus come and just gotten us out of this whole thing? Patience. Patience for those that haven't found him yet. Now again, there will be a time, there will be a day where that ends. But right now, God is so slow to anger that he is postponing what is coming. If God is willing, because here's the deal, like when you really break it down, if God is willing to be patient with others that don't know him, to give them time to find him, to have time to accept his love and his grace and his patience in their life, shouldn't we do the same? Shouldn't we be willing to have a situation where instead of being angry or quick to anger in these people's lives, instead we extend patience and extend slowness of anger? Because God has done it for us. Here's the deal. Here's the thing that we really need to understand. It's in your notes. Our lives tell the story of divine patience. When we understand the story of the outrageous amount of patience that God has extended to us, it can help us extend it to others. When we begin to stop, and we begin to understand the endurance, the forgiveness, and the slowness that God has extended to me and you, when we truly begin to grasp that, we'll find it easier, not always easy, to extend that to others. When we see that in our lives, what God has really done, we can extend it a little bit easier to others. When their quirks come and kind of, and we realize all that God has forgiven us of. When we endure hard times and hard situations with patience, knowing that God has a plan and that God will bring his plan about in our hearts and our lives. We can be patient when others are going through those seasons as well. And instead of reacting in anger and reacting in judgment and reacting in almost this concept, I think most of us sometimes feel that way, this way, and it's kind of horrible to say, but I think if we're going to be honest, sometimes we experience these moments where we kind of look at somebody and we kind of go, God, will you just give them what they deserve? And then we pray to God, God, don't give me what I deserve. Patience is a hard one because it asks a lot of us. Patience is a hard one because in some ways we can't always control the things that people say and that people do. But as we stay in the vine, as we abide in Jesus, the Holy Spirit can help this to grow in you and in me. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Let's close. A lot of times when we think about patience, we typically have this concept of being patient in a situation, but that is not always easy. Or the other thing that we really didn't talk too much about it actually this morning, but you know, where we're wanting God to do something. We're expecting God to do something, and so, but it's not the right time. It's not the right moment, and so we have to be patient with God's timing and God's plan. All of these things are kind of a part of what patience biblically really is. But at the same time, I want to ask you a couple questions really briefly, really quickly, and then we're going to pray. How are you doing with endurance? Like maybe God has given you a promise or something has happened, and you're just kind of sitting there going, God, I'm ready. God, what's going on? God, why? Maybe you're suffering. Something's happened and it's bringing some pain or some suffering to your life. And God is sometimes basically saying, listen, you know, this is, you're going to have to patiently endure this. I always think about Paul and how he talks about these thorns in his flesh, these hard things, and he prays to God several times, God, take them away, take them away, take them away. And God's response is, my grace is sufficient. Be patient. Because we don't know what those thorns were, but here's the deal. We don't know if they were physical, we don't know if they were emotional, we don't know. But I can tell you this. When Paul took his last breath and woke up in eternity, the thorns were gone. The thorns were gone. And sometimes we have to patiently endure. How's your patience and your endurance? But number two, how's your forgiveness? Some of us are so quick to look for offense, to look for things that people have said or done. Some of those things can be small and we make them into big things. And this is just as dangerous. Hear me here. We'll take big things and make them small. Where God wants to bring forth some forgiveness towards those individuals in our hearts. Being patient is also being forgiving. Some of us need to once again extend that to people. And maybe for some of us, it's in our own heart, in our own life. And then the final thing, how's your anger? How's your temper, I guess, is maybe another way to put it, or another way that we more today talk about it. Are you slow to anger? Are you a person that with your patience, you're not looking at the world or others in your life and just screaming, God, God, get them. God, take care of them. God, bring justice. But instead, you're saying, God, save their soul. God, help me to be a person that doesn't get angry, but instead brings forth patience and grace and love and kindness and goodness. You see, one thing that we have to understand, and I hope you're getting this as we're going through all of these fruits, they all go hand in hand. That's why as we began the series, we don't look at it and go, well, I'm sorry, Aaron, I just don't have the fruit of patience in my life. These aren't giftings, they're fruit. And God wants to produce them all in us. Why? Because so many times they go hand in hand together. So I know it. Patience isn't easy. Patience is hard. We want it. We don't want to always have the opportunity to express it and to grow it and develop it. But at the same time, as we stay connected with Jesus, He will produce through the Holy Spirit this fruit in you and in me. So let's pray. Father, we come to you right now. And God, obviously, this is a tough one. We need your help in all of these. We need to stay grounded and connected with you in all of these. But this is kind of one of those that we just want to have. We don't necessarily want to have it developed in us. We don't want to necessarily find opportunities to express it. But at the same time, Father, you have expressed it to us on a daily basis. Even for us that know you, there are still times where we forget. We're kind of like the Israelites in a lot of ways, where sometimes it only takes a little bit of time for us to forget the great things that you have done. And here's the deal, God, you didn't part the Red Sea for us, but you parted death, hell, and the grave for us through Jesus so that we could walk through to your presence on dry land. That's greater, that's more eternal than any water that will ever be parted or ever was. But yet, Jesus, sometimes we forget. And we allow that forgetfulness to forget to be patient, as you have been so patient with us. So, Father, first and foremost, I pray that you, through your Holy Spirit, would give us a new understanding of your patience. Not so that we can beat ourselves up, not so we can go, boy, I'm a horrible, terrible person, but that we can honestly see how great and awesome and good you are to us. So that we can have a deeper understanding of how slow to anger you are with us, and how forgiving you are with us, and how you endure us, if that makes sense. So that we can then do a better job with the people that are in our lives. This isn't an easy one, and we need your help. So come and help us in these areas. We love you. We thank you. You're so good. And we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, I want you to notice something. I did not necessarily pray that God would give you an amazing opportunity this week to be patient. Okay? You know why? Because every day you have that opportunity. We don't necessarily need big moments. Let's do them in the little things. When our kids are a little bit louder, maybe than we wish they were, and instead of going, what are you doing? Instead, we go up and we're slow to anger, and we go, hey, the neighbors just called, and they were enjoying your argument. Maybe we could tone it down a little bit, or whatever. Let's do it the small things, because here's what I know. As we do it in the small things, we'll be ready for the bigger things that God will bring in our lives, because we will have opportunities to show patience in so many ways and so many things. God will help us. God will help you. God will help me. And that's what we need. Okay? So listen, prayer this Wednesday night, Thursday night, the ladies' Bible study. Just want to put that on your radar screen. And again, please be in prayer for Fred and the entire Schaefer family during this time. I will let you know when the funeral is, and so that you're aware of that as soon as I know. All right? Awesome. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.